Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We're here to empower people, and today we're going to do exactly that. We start with the latest on health and healing and good information about carnosine, that's C-A-R-N-O-S-I-N-E. It inhibits the migration of colorectal cancer cells. That's in the National Kaohsiung University in Taiwan, published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. Many of you in the anti-aging program are using carnosine. Well, good for you. A lot more on health and healing today, always from peer-reviewed journals, always from respected institutions. Why? Because over 45 years ago, I was doing a debate with a Dr. Victor Herbert. He was one of the original quackbusters, and he was a medical doctor and also a lawyer. And we were on national television. It was a national debate. And, of course, he had the same views that the other quackbusters had, that everything involving health and healing, as we suggested and know it now today as conclusive proof, it was just quackery. And after the show, the producer, David Susskind, nice man, very intelligent, one of the best as far as doing good interviews, he said to me afterward, he said, "You were dealing with opposites. One was making a very powerful presentation based upon the authority of self, a medical doctor versus a non-medical doctor. And for some people in the audience, that may have been persuasive. You are coming from a different point of view as an educated consumer, consumer advocate, and a very soft presentation. What you should add on your side now is all the literature you can find from peer-reviewed journals to support that you may not be the medical doctor they are, but you have the science they don't have. They have their opinions. You have the science." From that day till now, virtually every radio show I've done, all my lectures, documentaries, books, articles are always completely footnoted, full of the latest peer-reviewed literature. So in effect, we're using their information, the establishment's information, to support the establishment should be behind in supporting natural and alternative non-toxic ways of preventing disease and helping people who are sick. That's the reason I do it. Because some people have asked, well, why do you even bother mentioning all this? Well, because I want people in the audience to know they can trust the information. Also today, we're going to be dealing with, if student loans were honest, what would it sound like if it were an advertisement? And then we're going to look at John F. Kennedy's speech that many believe got him killed. So those are just some of the things we're going to deal with. Plus, today I'm going to take your calls on topics that you found important. Now, there's two ways of doing it. If you have something that you have heard, and a lot of people listen at nights, therefore they can't call in live during the day, and you'd like to share your insight, we'd like to hear it. So you have a voice, and here is the number you call, or voicemail, 862-800-6805. Or you might have a question, and I will address them as I can on the air. The key is with any of your insights, they should empower people to a deeper way of thinking. But if you want to listen over the archives of any program you might have missed, here's the number, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. This is an important study because carnosine is one of the five primary nutrients that support our body's anti-aging process. And it is an endogenous dipeptide. and it's in your skeletal muscles. And it's usually obtained through your diet. Now, research suggests that a carnosine has the ability to regulate the migration and invasion of CRC cells. And that's what this study found. And cytokine was able to reduce the cytostolic levels of phosphorylated K in what is called tumor necrosis factor and DNA binding activity. In short, it helped prevent colorectal cancer. So, why is that important? Because let's say you have people in your family or friends who are not going to change their lifestyle. They're going to continue to eat meat or drink alcohol frequently at the same meal, like a beer and or wine and a burger or a steak. That creates two different distinct and very powerful carcinogens. There are other mitigating factors like lack of fiber also that can contribute. But if they were to take carnosine, that can help prevent that. So we might not be able to be enough of an influence to have people make healthy choices, but we can sure do something in a small way to help mitigate the negative consequences. A lot of people eat when they're hungry. Other people eat because it is a time to eat. They have it in their schedule. It's a ritual. We don't frequently eat because our body needs certain nutrients and we want to make sure they get those nutrients. A few people do, but most don't. But Tel Aviv University came up with a study that showed that eating in sync with your biological clock could replace problematic diabetes treatment. Now, type 2 diabetes is important to understand that most of the time people are injecting themselves with insulin. That's a hormone that regulates the movement of sugar into the liver and muscles and fat cells up to 4 times a day. But insulin injections are linked to weight gain and the loss of control of blood sugar levels. This triggers a vicious cycle of higher insulin doses, continuous weight gain, and a higher incidence of cardiovascular disease and complications. But a new study at Tel Aviv University finds that a starch-rich breakfast consumed early in the morning coupled with a small dinner could replace insulin injections and other diabetes medications. So the historical idea was eat 6 small meals a day. That's what I was taught when I was in dietetics class, becoming a dietitian. And of course, that was nonsense, and I argued the issue, but what about the quality of what a person's eating? So if you're eating a cereal in the morning out of a box and it's got sugar in it and it's going to digest into a monosaccharide, that's automatically going to spike the blood sugar. And they were arguing, well, no, it won't. And yet all the science showed they were wrong. And that's unfortunate because the medical doctor comes into a hospital or into their office and says to the dietitian, I want them on this amount of protein, this amount of fat, this amount of carbohydrate, this amount of fiber. It is the dietitian who then takes that information and then creates a specific dietary meal program. And when you, I was just standing in class looking at all the overweight people who are dietitians. Well, if they're not willing to change their own diet and be healthy, what is the likelihood that they'd be conscientious in helping people in a clinical setting? So understand that 6 small meals a day is the old science. And the research of shifting to a starch-rich calorie diet in the morning is only beneficial if it's complexed starches instead of refined starches, where you're getting, like, let's say if it's an oatmeal, it's a very, very chewy oatmeal. It's going to take long to digest, and as a result, the blood sugar will be maintained. It's what has a low glycemic index. Whereas if you ate something that's instantaneous, almost always, you're going to spike your blood sugar. So better to change the way people think about eating a breakfast. For example, if you're in Japan, very common to have a miso soup with tofu, seaweed, to have a tea, a green tea, to have a fruit. So they're much healthier in their diet. We think we have to have either bacon and eggs and toast with butter or jam, a coffee or milk, some kind of frosted cereal, sugar-coated cereal. All of those are wrong, except for the Japanese. They've got it right. And other countries also have it right. Just having coffee in the morning, deadly for you. It can create GERD. It can create all forms of nutritional deficiencies. And also think of the people that take their vitamins in the morning with coffee or have coffee after they've taken the vitamins. Coffee is loaded with caffeine, and caffeine is a diuretic. That means you're going to sweep out a lot of the benefit that was otherwise in those vitamins. So never take your vitamins if you have coffee at the same time. In any case, have yourself different types of food. Try different types of food. But the complex carbohydrates is the key. This is published in Diabetes Care. For example, if you wanted really good, you could take some Essene bread or Ezekiel bread. That's a gluten-free bread made out of sprouts. And then put some extra virgin olive oil on it, like a tablespoon. And then put some almond butter, fresh-made almond butter on it, or walnut butter. Tahini is also good. Any of those. And then just cut up some piece of banana and put on it. That's a phenomenal breakfast. You've got fiber, complete proteins, and complex carbohydrates. That'll sustain your blood sugar for some time. Now, they're also suggesting that the upregulation of the biological clock gene expressed in this particular diet made a difference. So if you learn not to eat at night, condition yourself not to eat at night when your body is catabolic, that is a terrific help for you. Because you're also then in effect, let's say if you eat your last meal at 6 o'clock, you're going to have about 12 hours to 15 hours before you eat your next meal. The body needs that opportunity. That is a pure fast, and that is very beneficial. It also allows the body to do the three things it does every night when you're asleep. It cleanses dead cells, bacteria, and lignocellulose fiber out of the body. So you start your day cleansed, and that's important. From University of Fabra in Spain comes a study published in Pediatric Obesity about the impact of lifestyle behaviors in early childhood and how that contributes to obesity. So according to this study, adhering to a healthy lifestyle at age 4 is associated with a substantially decreased risk of overweight, obesity, abdominal obesity as you grow older. The study assessed 5 lifestyle behaviors: physical activity, exercise, sleep, how long you sleep, television watching, ultra-processed food consumption, and plant-based food consumption in 1,480 children when they were 4. So limiting your television time and getting rid of the ultra-processed food, along with a quality sleeping and exercising and consuming a plant-based diet, all were associated with a lower body mass index and waist circumference and a lower likelihood of developing overweight obesity and abdominal obesity as you were getting older. So we have an epidemic in America of obese children. We have an epidemic of adult diabetes in children, arthritis in children, and heart disease in children. This could help reverse that. From Albert Einstein College of Medicine comes a study presented at the Radiological Society of North America meeting. Those women who use birth control pills end up having the babies with regional smaller if you use birth control. So research studying the brain found that women taking oral contraceptives, commonly known as birth control pills, had significantly smaller hypothalamus volume in themselves, I'm sorry, not their offspring, compared to women not taking the pill. That's important. Now why? First of all, understand that the pituitary gland is a gland located at the base of the brain. And The hypothalamus produces hormones and helps regulate essential bodily functions, including your body temperature, mood, appetite, sex drive, sleep cycles, and heart rate. So structural effects of sex hormones, including oral contraceptives or birth control pills, on the human hypothalamus have never been reported. And this may be in part because validated methods to quantitatively analyze MRI exams of the hypothalamus have not been available until now. So this is new information, and it's important because you don't want to be taking oral contraceptives and end up having all forms of physical conditions that you were not aware of, which can include irregular menstruation, cramps, acne, endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome. All of those are common with birth control consumption. So you might want to look at another barrier process. I support the person's use of a contraceptive to have an unwanted pregnancy, but I also support the woman's health, and there are other ways that that can be achieved without putting the woman at risk. From York University and McMaster's University comes a study about probiotics. And once again, it's shown that they can help treat anxiety and depression. And that's a good thing. This was published in Nutrition Research. And while only a few studies have evaluated its effects on humans, the research still found evidence of psychological benefits, suggesting that the impact of probiotic supplementation reaches beyond your digestive system. These are the good bacteria that you consume when you eat healthy, clean food, and also fermented food like sauerkraut. You see, you have a microbial community present in your gastrointestinal tract. That's your GI tract. And it's collectively known as gut microbiota. And in the past decades, several studies, I have at least 50, have explored and established the role of gut microbiota in human digestion, metabolism, and immune function. And so it certainly helps people with depression and anxiety. That's what this says. And Shanghai University of Traditional Chinese Medicine did a study showing that modern Chinese medicine is very good against liver cancer metastasis. Now, liver cancer is one of the deadliest types of human cancer. Hepatocellular carcinoma, which often occurs in patients with already existing liver disease, is considered the most common form of liver cancer. And one of the most common characteristics of this cancer is its tendency to migrate or metastasize into the lungs. The metastasis of cancer cells involves a process called epithelial transition, and wherein epithelial cells undergo phenotype changes to resemble other cells and stem cells capable of turning into different types of adult cells. In any case, according to the British Journal of Complementary and Alternative Medicine, they found that a simple Chinese formula, herbal formula, it is called Yangang, let me spell it, Yanggan, one word, and Judu, Jiedu, Sanji, Sanjie, is a very effective treatment for liver cancer. And it's natural and non-toxic. And then this, you know, it contains skullcap and longku, strawberry, madwoman's milk. All these are different herbs. Cat's claw, grass. Anyhow, it's a powerful formula, and it can help. And all I'm looking to do is put more pieces of the puzzle of healing together for you. From Tel Aviv University, which is in Israel, they did a study on hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and they found that it can alleviate symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. It's a brand new study, and it can ameliorate symptoms experienced by patients with Alzheimer's. So that's good. And this was published in Neurobiology of Aging. So if you have someone suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or ALS, I would definitely look into getting a series of treatments. Generally, a treatment's an hour long. You might want to do three in a week. And for stroke victims, even if you've had a stroke 2 years ago, it makes a huge difference. And finally, from the North American Menopause Society, hot flashes, undoubtedly the most common symptom of menopause, are not just uncomfortable and inconvenient, but numerous studies demonstrate they may increase the risk of serious health problems, including heart disease. Well, a new study suggests that hot flashes, especially when accompanied by night sweats, may also increase the risk of developing diabetes. So this was published in the journal Menopause. And not today, because we have way too much to get on, but I will do a comprehensive protocol over the air for women who are going through perimenopause or menopause or postmenopause, showing you the natural way of helping turn off or prevent hot flashes, night sweats, and other conditions, symptoms normal to how most people experience menopause. One last thing, coenzyme Q10 can help blood sugar management in people with Metz S, Kashan University of Medical Sciences. So daily supplementation of coenzyme Q10 may produce beneficial effects on insulin and blood sugar management in people with metabolic syndrome. That's good. And that was published in the European Journal of Nutrition. We are 21 minutes into our program. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go right into if student loans were honest.
You've been told your whole life that it's the next logical and natural step after high school. And you've also been told that it is prohibitively expensive. College is one of the biggest investments of your lifetime, so it deserves your careful consideration and strategy. What you decide now will have a tremendous impact on your future, so think about it. Or you can just trust that I have your best interest in mind. Hi, I'm some guy. Here at Horton's Student Loans, we'll help you with the funding you need for your college's largely arbitrary price tag without worrying you with interest or credit ratings, so you can focus on the important things, like making sure you don't have any classes before 11 a.m. and that your dorm room is decorated in a way that will impress your high school self and embarrass your future real self. He'll hate them in 5 years.
It's tasteful.
You don't know anything about anything.
Fair.
One of the classes you could and should take will be economics, which will surely teach you in intricate detail about how you've been screwed here. Lots of stuff about inflation-adjusted pay increases, but it'll only make sense in the abstract sense because we've carefully designed the modern college experience to insulate you from real financial responsibility as much as possible. Everything about college is designed to trick you into thinking you're an adult when really it's closer to adult training wheels, or, to put it more bluntly, bull to keep children safe. Your one student loan, which you won't have to start paying or even look at until you graduate, covers your housing and most of your groceries, so you won't need to learn how to budget for these fundamental human necessities until you graduate, can't get a job, and your parents start charging you for both.
No, when I leave college, I'll have a high-paying job. I mean, that's what you're paying for when you go to school. You're buying a degree that makes you qualified for a good job.
Well, that's what I've certainly convinced you is true. In reality, the national student loan debt is at $1.2 trillion, which translates to a whole lot of fancy graduates who don't have jobs that can actually pay back the loans we forced them to take out.
But it's possible. I mean, both of my parents went to college, and They're not in debt anymore.
Don't bother asking them for advice. When they were in college, they could pay for it with a summer job. That'd only be possible today if your summer job was being Elon Musk. The new reality is that it's almost impossible to make student debt disappear, even if you go bankrupt. I still don't know how I managed to pull that one off.
Are there loan companies that are better that I can choose from?
No. The government decides what companies you borrow from, and then your debt can actually be sold multiple times to different organizations beyond your control, and they can do whatever they want with your debt.
Hey, I just bought your debt, and I'm gifting you the opportunity to put off paying for 6 whole months. As a side effect, you'll be paying for literally 50 years, but hey, time is money, right? I wouldn't know. I didn't go to college. Seemed expensive. My dad gave me this job. Bye.
Of course, it's not like this money's wasted. It goes right into the school's endowment, which is used to pay for things like tuition assistance and fellowships, but mostly to play the stock market. In 2014, Yale's $26 billion endowment made almost $500 million in hedge funds and put just under $200 million of that towards its actual students. So your tuition dollars are making America's 1% rich even before you graduate. Hey, you're not so unprepared for the real world after all.
By the way, it was Joe Biden who was one of the most powerful supporters as a Democrat to completely eliminate a student's ability to file bankruptcy and declare their student loans as part of that bankruptcy petition. He sided with the banking community, the credit card community, and they also were one of the largest contributors to his reelection campaign. That was back in 2004 and 5. So now someone should ask him in a debate why he is talking about helping students when he was the person who caused them so much suffering. He led the Democratic charge. The other Democrats didn't want this, but 25 Democrats did break ranks, and all 25 have been heavily subsidized by the credit card and banking industry. The system is so corrupt. And now you have students with $1.6 trillion in debt. And you have over, ready for this, 6 million senior citizens who have college debt. It's easy to pay 2, even 3 times the original debt because of compounding interest. When you can't make payments, the interest rate shoots up. When you only make partial payments, it shoots up. So the banking community and credit card community don't want you to be able to pay off your credit cards. They make their big money when you can't. And yet, there's not a single discussion anywhere in America today by politicians to change this, which they could. Shows you who both the left and right really supports. In that sense, in a moment, we're going to have a commentary by Chris Hedges from TruTig, the new Black Codes. But before then, I'm just going to go through some of the headlines from just today that I posted on PRN.fm and on my own Facebook. And I post throughout the day because I want people to know honest information they're not getting, and certainly not getting in an objective way in any of the other mainstream media. And it's free. It's there for you. This is from International Appeal to Stop 5G on Earth and in Space from Global Research. Now, keep in mind, all the ads you're now seeing are praising 5G. Young people with their cell phones that can connect with everything in the world. We love 5G. We want our 5G, much like years ago when we saw we want our MTV. Well, this is like that. They're appealing to people who they believe will not do their homework and wouldn't care even if the homework showed that it's a danger to them. But it is. Companies, quote, companies planning 5G satellites, global day of protest against 5G, January 25th, coming up, by the way. And so far, groups and countries have announced that they are organizing events on January 25th as part of a global day of protest. Australia, Austria, Canada, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and some places, United States. Have you seen this in the mainstream media? Not a word. Now, we've written, Richard Gow and I have written, three articles detailing why 5G is dangerous. We also, if you go to prn.fm, you'll be able to see all the videos of experts and scientists, and there are over 26,000 scientists who've signed a petition to world governments not to use 5G. So that is, in effect, we're providing all these groups around the world with information on what they can do. And there are a lot of companies planning 5G. SpaceX, which has plans for 42,000 satellites, and they've already launched 120. OneWeb, Telesat, Amazon, Facebook, Aerospace and Industrial Corporation. These are some of the people that are out there who are hoping that you stay intentionally ignorant. You shouldn't. Also, from the New York Times, Jim Robbins, fire blight spreads northward, threatening apple orchards. Quote, growers in northern states are combating a virulent outbreak of a disease as seasons grow warmer. Orchards have been reconfigured for higher yields, and new varieties may be more vulnerable. Quote, across the country, hundreds of kinds of apples were meticulously developed by orchardists over the last couple of centuries, and then, as farms and groves were abandoned and commercial production greatly narrowed the number of varieties for sale, many were forgotten. Some of this horticultural biodiversity, though, has been nurtured by dedicated growers who want to preserve the forgotten flavors and other traits of apples from the past. For example, some of the best apples ever developed were used for baking pies. They're no longer grown commercially, but are still thriving in heirloom orchards. So what has happened now is because of global warming, up the whole East Coast, first they have beetles that are infesting the trees and killing the trees in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, up through the Shenandoah Valley, and it's spreading. We're not talking about killing a few trees. We're talking about killing millions of trees. In California alone, last year, over 100 million trees were destroyed. But we haven't planted 100 million to take their place. And that's without any of the logging industry. Now the orchards in upstate New York, starting in Goshen and New Paltz, going north from there, is where all the orchards are. And they're just being adversely affected by this as well. That's because of global warming. So if you want to know how bad is global warming, it depends upon where you're at and what's hitting you. Also, there now, this is from a proposed rule, FDA 2018 N4845. It's directly affecting 300 amazing compounds. Here's what they intend to ban, 26 ingredients being banned from the by the FDA starting today. Yes. And some of these in compounding formulas include 7-keto-DHEA. Why is that important? Because DHEA is a source hormone produced by glands near the kidneys, and it's essential to create other hormones and helps you with your body's metabolism and weight management. And 7-keto-DHEA regulates the thyroid gland and boosts your immune system and treats depression and anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder. They're also banning acetyl-L-carnitine. And acetyl-L-carnitine is known for boosting mental actions like learning and reasoning and awareness and perception. It improves memory and mood and mental performance. And then they're also aloe vera 200 freeze-dried. They're banning that. Artemisian, astragalus extract, boswellia, also chondroitin sulfate, and chrysin, curcumin is quite simply one of the most powerful herbs in the world. It's great for treating pain and inflammation. And D-ribose is important. It provides extra energy to the heart while you're working out, and it's terrific. And also dimethylglycine and germanium, so nettle, NAD, If you talk about one superstar beyond all other superstars in anti-aging's NAD, and that's nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, and it decreases the appetite and deters the progression of aging. So, and NADH. So these are some of the ones that the FDA has decided to take out of all these compounding formulas. Well, they start with the compounding formulas, then they'll go from there to the individual supplements. So just be aware of this. Nobody protested. And while everyone was celebrating, they brought it out. Now, one group that people in this audience, especially the citizen journalists, would really help everyone if you did some articles on. I'm doing articles. I'm doing a new article tomorrow and a new article on the environment on Friday. I don't have the time with my schedule of doing all that I'm doing to do one, but you should do one on ALEC. Now, this is from The Guardian. Quote, ALEC, right-wing bill mill accused of sowing racist and white supremacist policies. An advocacy group report criticizes ALEC, a group which brings together conservative lawmakers and corporate interests. ALEC, the right-wing network that brings conservative lawmakers together with corporate lobbyists to create model legislation that is cloned across the United States, has been accused of spreading racist and white supremacist policies targeted at minority communities. A report published in Tuesday of this week's Center for Constitutional Rights and other advocacy groups charges ALEC with propagating white supremacy. And then it goes on from there. Well, ALEC stands for the American Legislative Exchange Council, and unfortunately, I don't have the respect today that I once had for The Guardian. It has been highly politicized. It does not support the condemnation of the establishment of Julian Assange, of WikiLeaks. And ALEC is not just a conservative group. Boy, did they get their homework wrong on this. Sloppy journalism. ALEC is made up of anywhere between 200 to 300 corporations. These are major corporations. They don't identify themselves as conservative or liberal. They're just moneymakers. You're talking about some of the biggest corporations in America. They meet in exclusive resorts with state legislatures. They hand bills and then guide the legislator of your state of how to take this bill back. They give a list of co-sponsors, people they've already met with, and pass this as a law into your state. For example, you can see their footprints and handprints all over the vaccine mandating bills. Years ago, they were behind the same states, all states publishing laws that prevented anyone except a registered dietitian, nutritionist to practice nutrition counseling of any kind in states. And we fought them and we held them back from passing legislation. But it meant that if you had a PhD as I do in human nutrition and public health science, but if I wasn't a registered dietitian, I couldn't even give for free information on nutrition. But because I am a registered dietitian and a PhD and have undergraduate degrees in nutrition as well, I can do that. But think of all the people who have good degrees, even have gotten a master's degree in clinical nutrition from a respected accredited university, they still couldn't practice unless they're a registered dietitian. They got that bill passed because they knew that the registered dietitians were not going to do anything that was considered cutting edge or unique. They never have. So they had them captured, their organization captured. So that's how tough they are. It's estimated minimally they passed 25,000 bills. I believe that every one of those should be rescinded, and I believe every lawmaker that's ever met with ALEC and accepted a bill to pass as law should be thrown out of the state legislature, and they should be identified because those are people that have, in my opinion, no integrity. Also, Sean Captain of FastCompany.com, Portland, Oregon, plans to propose the strictest facial recognition ban in the country. Portland, Oregon aims to ban the use of controversial technology not only by city government, but also by private companies. As the federal government plods along on developing privacy laws, some cities are taking matters into their own hands, with facial recognition technology at the top of the list. Now, Portland, Oregon has plans to ban the use of facial recognition for both the government and private businesses in the city, a move that could make Portland's ban the most restrictive in the United States. Good for them. Also, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley in California, Somerville, Massachusetts have already banned the use of facial recognition by their city government agencies, including police departments. But Portland's ban goes a step further by expanding to private businesses if it makes it into law and takes effect in spring of this coming year. We certainly support them. Anyhow, those are just some of the items that we have up today. We have an awful lot. I have maybe 100 between yesterday and today, articles from around the world. So that lets you know when you go to prn.fm or Gary Nall what you're going to find. Now, we're just going to take a minute because I have something new to introduce to you. And I'm happy to share this with you. And this is, well, we actually have two things today, but this is brand new. It just arrived in our office today. And by the way, our office now does our own fulfillment. So we have a state-of-the-art fulfillment center today. So we can track every single shipment, and we're generally getting the shipment out in the same day orders are made. And I'm very pleased about that. This is a new supplement. If you have a pet, a dog, it's called Perfect Pet. Now, Perfect Pet is a daily nutritional formula for dogs. Now, it depends upon your knowledge of what a dog needs, depending upon the breed of dog. But a lot of people have been into this, the wolf diet, and I'm opposed to the wolf diet. Again, I've looked at what a dog's need, and also I have the experience of working with so many animals. I had longest-lived ring-tailed lemur in the world. They generally live 16 to 18 years. Mine lived 33 years and then died of an accident. We have my two dogs, 22 and 24, miniature Dachshunds, and they died when I wasn't here, again, by stupidity. Of the person who's no longer working here, but they'd still be alive. A cat, Sally, 26 years of age. So you won't find a place, an animal sanctuary in the world that feeds their animals as well as these are fed. And that's why they're healthy and live long lives. And even right now, Sprout is 18, healthy as can be. His just in the last year was able to reverse some gray on his coat and his face back to normal color. So whatever you feed your dog as their primary meal, they've got to get a lot of exercise. But also, you're accepting that whatever that dry kibble is, and they're different qualities, or the wet food, and generally it's in a can, and that's not how you have an animal live a long life, especially when you're also giving them all these unnecessary and dangerous vaccines. And so what I've done is I've created this product. Here's what's in it: glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, niacin, vitamin C from ascorbyl palmitate, which is a fat-soluble vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, the omega-3 fatty acids, kelp, MSM, spirulina, calcium, magnesium from citrate, potassium from citrate, zinc, probiotics, and enzymes like amylase, cellulase, protease, and lipase. So what you do, there's a two-month supply in one bottle, and you just, there's a little scoop in there, and just you spread this over whatever food you're feeding them. All right, so I'm not giving them the food, I'm giving them the supplement that should go on top of the food. Now, I'm also giving you free today a $40 award-winning documentary I did called Natural Pet Care. And this is a really good documentary. And cats, dogs, birds, fish, horses, I go through all of them and what they need to live a longer and healthier life. So you get all these marine trace minerals to optimize cardiovascular health and metabolism and omega-3 fatty acids to improve skin and coat and brain health and antioxidants to promote healthy hips and joints and enzymes to boost digestion and immune health and antioxidants to overall health. That's what you're getting. Again, let me give you the name of it, and then I'm going to give you a number to call. It's natural pet. The name of it is Perfect Pet. So brand new. I'm just announcing it today. Perfect Pet. Here's the number you're going to call. And you're getting both the pet formula, a two-month supply, and the DVD, $34.99. Phenomenal deal. Let me give you the number. 877-627-5065. Diane and Sandy are standing by. 877-627-5065. So it's $34.99 plus shipping and handling, which is not a lot. And that way you can know that you're doing something extra special above and beyond what the others out there are doing. And then you're getting a video to see what you really should be doing on a daily basis to have a healthier and longer lived companion pet. Call 877-627-5065. This is a limited supply because I wanted to get it in early, and so I did a limited run from the manufacturer instead of waiting another 2 months to do a longer run. So until supplies last, call 877-627-5065. Now, while we're on something that's really dynamic, first of all, we had no idea this would be such a popular item, and that is the new, really unique travel filter. Now, you're saving a lot of money on this. You're getting a 22-ounce travel water filter. You're getting a three-hour CD set of what to do when disaster, any disaster, strikes, fire, earthquake, flooding, no matter what the disaster. If there's a corona mass ejection from the sun and all electricity goes out, you'll know what to do in great detail. Everyone should have this. But we sold out of them within the first hour, and these are all handmade. So we got another group in today, and we're getting more in next week. So this is a phenomenal filter. And this is not the same as the older 3-gallon filter. And I've invited Dr. Roy Spicer to give us a reason why you should look at this. This has got the state of the art. This is fourth generation technology. I know of no other water filter, portable water filter in the world that even comes close to decontaminating the water that this does. So if you need this in an emergency, you've got something that can filter water so you can drink and won't get contaminated water and get sick. This also has the ability to go right over your tap. If you're uncertain about the quality of the water out of your tap, and more than 5,000 communities and cities in the United States don't have good, healthy water. And I would never drink directly out of a tap. Are you kidding? No way. No. So this goes with me everywhere. And just small. Just fold it up and boom. Put it in a bag and, you know, your knapsack or briefcase, and you take it anywhere with you. So this is a must for everyone. And especially athletes. Especially people out there hiking, biking, taking it to work. So we have Dr. Roy Spicer on the phone. Hi, Roy.
Hello, Gary. Good to be with you.
Roy's a PhD in microbiology from Rutgers University. Roy, you're an expert on water and water quality. Please tell us how this Garinol travel filter compares in what it gets out. So what is it filtering out to save people from being contaminated?
The most important thing in an emergency or in any situation where there's not potable water is to have a filtration device that will eliminate microbes that are pathogens that can cause disease. And this filter is the only one I've seen on the market with this new technology that can eliminate bacteria like E. coli, parasites like Cryptosporidium, which are prevalent when there's a flood condition, and we've had some of the wettest situations on record for the U.S. this past year. In one case in the Midwest, they've had over 100 days of flooding. So when your streets are swamped with water, you have disrupted electric, and there's no water supply, you need a device that can handle these types of microbes that are, you know, going to appear when there's flooding or there's no treatment of the water. So the new personal sports bottle has been tested to the strictest standards, you know, EPA standards and what they call NSF ANSI standards. And the reduction of E. coli, for example, is greater than 99.99%, which is excellent for a small portable unit. Also, parasite reduction is greater than 99%. So right there, you have a very unique, portable, very compact filtration system that can protect you in the worst conditions when you don't have potable water, or when you do have potable water, it can eliminate the chemicals that are commonly found in water, such as chlorine, which is used in all municipal treatment. It reduces chlorine greater than 99.9%. And these test results, I'm looking at quite a few of them here, looked at the laboratory analysis, and not only can it reduce chlorine, but also a lot of different volatile organic chemicals. Is greater than 99% reduction of a whole range, dozens and dozens of chemicals that were tested in this unit that you may find in some of your city water. These are some of the common things, like 2,4-D, that's a pesticide. We've seen it around in water supplies in the United States. Some of these industrial chemicals, pesticides, like simazine, that's pretty common in a lot of water supplies, especially in the Midwest and certain agricultural areas. So when you look at the performance of the filter, it's really remarkable. One last thing, the heavy metals that are very common in water, like lead, is ubiquitous in all water supplies. Greater than 95% reduction of lead. Mercury, aluminum is used quite frequently in municipal treatment. Cadmium, chromium, copper. These are all heavy metals that are commonly found in water supplies throughout the United States. So if you want complete protection, not only in your home, but when you, like you said, travel, you go to work, you're out on the road, people call me all the time, what do I do when I go out and travel, or you go outside the United States? Well, you need something that can protect you against the worst water conditions. You can't trust bottled water, because in many cases, it's using city or tap water that's contaminated. So here you have a device that's the most portable I've seen. It meets the strictest testing standards, and it's an absolute necessity to have one.
Thank you, Roy. It's Dr. Roy Spicer. So once again, we have the latest innovations, the latest technology applied towards something that's minimal in size. So you can easily take this anywhere you go, even to work each day. And no matter where you're at, you at least know that you're going to have water filtered instantaneously. You don't have to wait. It does it, you know, it does it instantly. That's another part of the unique features. So anyhow, this is an absolute must. Plus, having and listening to the 3DC set what to do when disaster strikes is important too. Let me give you the number. And again, these are all handmade, so you've got to be patient. If we sell out, you know, if you place an order, you'll be first in that sequential order to get them. But this week, we could get out about 50. Call 877-627-5065. This would make a great Christmas gift also. 877-627-5065. Again, 877-627-5065. You're getting the 3-CD set, and you're getting the water filter for only $49.95. How about that? That's a terrific savings. We're finishing off our program today by taking a look at something that many people in this audience have been concerned about, and that is what it means to be a poor person or a person of color in one of the urban communities in the United States. I've given you my suggestions of how police in these areas should not be militarized police. They should be people who come from the community. In fact, there should be an effort to recruit people from the community, men and women, who will then go back into the community and walk the beat. In every community, there should be a minimal station house, not a jail, but a station house where people can come in and bring their concerns to someone who lives in the community, and also the training that they get. They shouldn't be taught shoot to kill and everything's a kill shot. They should also be taught in how to de-escalate a conflict. They should be patient. They should be at community events. They should be there with the people who they're going to be helping. They should be there to protect and serve. According to Chris, the police forces in impoverished areas today, it's not that way. They're equipped, as we've all seen it, with military-grade weapons, and they're empowered to harass and kill largely at will. When was the last time that you heard about a police officer being arrested for undue force or inappropriate actions or profiling someone and losing their pension and losing their job? That is rare. And so also, it's from these communities that we have mass incarceration. And these are the principal tools for the social control of the poor. There's little pretense of justice and even less of protection and safety. The corporate state and our oligarchical rulers fear a backlash from those they abandon in deindustrialized enclaves across the country. Wasn't it Malcolm X who called our internal colonies what they are? The daily brutality and terror keep the poor, especially poor people of color, in bondage. On average, more than 1,100 people, or one every 8 hours, almost all unarmed, are killed every year by police in the United States. These killings are not accidents. They are not the result of a failed system. The system works exactly as it is designed to work, and until the system of corporate power is destroyed, nothing will change for the poor or the rest of Americans. Every police reform going back decades, including due process, Miranda rights, and protocols for filing charges, has only resulted in increased police power and resources. Our national conversation on race and crime, which refuses to confront the economic, social, and political systems of exploitation and white supremacy, has been a whitewash. The vast pools of unemployed and underemployed, especially among people of color, are part of the design of predatory corporate capitalism. Remember what I said earlier? Corporations make far more profit from you when you cannot repay a bill in a timely fashion. And now they're arresting people for not paying bills. So are the institutions, especially the police, the courts, the jails, and the prisons, tasked with maintaining social control of a system that has been cast aside. Now, the elites are acutely aware that without police terror and the use of U.S. prison systems, which holds 25% of the world's prison population, there would be intense social unrest. Outrage over the police killings of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York, Walter Scott in Charleston, Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Quan McDonald in Chicago. These fanned the social unrest. Tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy, the loss of industrial and unionized jobs with sustainable incomes, the collapse of public institutions have decimated city and county budgets. Police departments are used to make up lost revenue through the constant imposition of fines on the poor, often for manufactured crimes like blocking pedestrian traffic, which means standing on a sidewalk, drinking from an open container, or selling tax-free cigarettes. Arrests and consequent fines for such violations are called quality of life actions. Poverty has forced many, especially the young, to derive an income from the illegal economy. The lack of work in the legitimate economy and the bottomless need for government revenue have turned policing into a sustained war on the underclass. It was in this war that Gardner, attempting to provide his family by selling tax-free cigarettes, became a repeated target of police harassment and was eventually choked to death by police officer, July 2014 in Staten Island. Matt Taibbi's book, Can't Breathe, A Killing on Bay Street, used the killing of Gardner to expose the architecture of state repression. None of this repression and abuse, as Taibbi illustrates, is accidental, and none of it will be fixed until the social and political and economic injustices perpetrated upon the poor by corporate power are reversed. The war on poor people of color has been a bipartisan project. No one was executed in the United States between 1968 and 1976. But drastic changes in laws occurred in the 1990s. Who to blame? Bill Clinton. Democrats and Republicans passed a series of law and order bills that saw the number of crimes punishable by death leap from 66 in 1994, and then it went up from there. and there's only been one such crime identified in federal law. Two parties, in the words of one person, engaged in a death penalty bidding war. Joe Biden, by the way, was one of the leading proponents of expanding the death penalty. Biden boasted that he had added back to the federal statutes over 50 death penalties. The 1994 Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, pushed through by Bill and Hillary Clinton, mainly Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, provided funding for tens of thousands of community police officers and drug courts. It banned some assault weapons. It mandated life sentences for anyone convicted of a violent felony after two or more prior convictions, including for drug crimes. The mandated life sentences were known as three strikes provisions. The population in state federal prisons during the Clinton administration rose by 673,000 inmates, and that's 235,000 more than during the Reagan presidency. The police became omnipotent on the streets of poor communities. They were not there to protect, to understand, to dialogue. No. The courts were so corrupted they became a conveyor belt transporting the poor into the nation's jails and prisons. So what we have is we have victims of such violence are uniformly vilified to a public that has a predisposition to fear people targeted by police. And so are those who bear witness, such as Ramsey Orta, who used his phone to video record the killing of Gardner. Success in policing is not measured by combating or investigating crime, but in generating arrests and handing out summonses, turning the work of police departments into what Tabibi calls an industrial production scheme. At the same time, there's an imperative to suppress as many reports of felonies as possible to produce favorable crime statistics. This creates a situation where, as Tabibi notes, police are discouraged from reporting real crime in the community, which has the effect of letting people know the police weren't interested in committing resources to their actual needs. Police are empowered to stop anyone for a long list of reasons, including inappropriate attire or a suspicious bulge. This provides legal cover for the random stops and searches carried out by the police, especially against boys and men of color. Gardner was harassed in this way throughout much of his life. At the core, the broken windows policy, the idea that arrests for minor violations prevent major violations, was warped by what Tabibi calls a chilling construct. New Yorkers who are afraid of crime are already victims. Many New Yorkers are scared of black people, therefore being black is a crime. It is under this construct, as Tabibi writes, that 90-95% of all people imprisoned for drug offenses in New York in the 90s were black and Hispanic, despite studies showing that 72% of all illegal drug users in the city were white. So keep this in mind. Shouldn't we deconstruct the entire system? For the person who cannot afford bail and therefore has to plead guilty to a lesser crime when he committed no crime? To the people who stop and search because of their color, ethnicity, religion, and yet you don't see people being stopped and searched on Wall Street, coming out of Broadway theaters, fancy restaurants, going into exclusive hotels? No. No, we are nothing if not hypocritical in how we engage this, and yet the very people who are the architects of this are the very people who run for office or feel somehow entitled to have expunged completely from the public consciousness all their crimes against humanity. Just think of how many people of color were killed by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other countries. Not once have they been held accountable for any of that. That tells us a lot about we the people, not just the perpetrators. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.